This week we'd like to talk a little bit about and to share some very, very important insights by the Meshech Chachma of Meir Simcha, Lidvinsk, that relates to this parasha that I would consider to be very yesodistic. Yesodistic meaning that they're very fundamental, very foundational. They deal with Ikrei Emuna, with some of the very important ideas that the Rambam talks about that are formulated in the Ani Mamins, the idea of the Ani Mamin that Shekol Divrei Nevi'im Emes, believing that all the words in the Nevi'im are true, the idea of the Ani Mamin that says that Moshe Rabbeinu is Avla Nevi'im L'Kob L'Fan of Abam Achrav, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi of all time, the Ani Mamin that says that Zosa Torah HaMetziyah to be Dana, this Torah that we have is the Torah that was given to us at our Sinai. And also the Ani Mamin that tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes and rewards according to our actions, which indicates, of course, that we have free will and therefore are responsible for that which we do wrong and get the credit for that which we do right. And it all focuses really on one pasuk in the parasha, in the introduction to Matan Torah, after Chamishi. We find that the pasuk says as follows: "Vayomer Hashem Moshe." Hashem says to Moshe, "Hini Anochi Boi Lecha Ba'ava Anan." I am coming to you. Yeah, I will be coming to you in the thick of the cloud. "Bavur Yishma Amadir B'Dabri Imach," so that the people will hear that I speak to you as I speak to you. And here comes the key phrase: "Gam Becha Ya'aminu La'olam." And in you as well, they will believe forever. They will believe in you forever. And the Meshech Chachma is very troubled by this statement by Kadosh Baruch Hu, "V'gam b'chayimino l'olam," they'll believe in you, Moshe Rabbeinu, forever. Who says? Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being, and as a human being, he has free will. And as such, Moshe, there's no guarantee that he'll be somebody who's worthy of believing in forever. He's still alive, and the potential is, as long as the person's alive, he can flip, he can fall, chas v'shalom, and go off the derech, as they say, and not be the Moshe Rabbeinu that we know. So how could Kadosh Baruch Hu say, "V'gam b'chayimino l'olam"? Now, I know some will say, well, because Hashem knows the future, and he knows that Moshe is not going to go up the derech. The Moshe will remain in Tzaddik for the rest of his life. But this, using that response, really runs into the age-old question, which the Rambam talks about, the paradox that Hashem knows the future, and nevertheless we have free will. Hashem in his reality knows the future. We in our reality have free will. Both are true, despite the fact that it's a paradox that we can't reconcile. But here, Hashem does not just know what Moshe is going to do, he told it to Moshe. And once he tells it to man, it becomes part of this world. And therefore, our reality says that Moshe will be Moshe Rabbeinu forever. And that becomes a contradiction to the notion of free will, which is also part of our reality. So how is it possible that Moshe should have Bechira as a human being, and nevertheless, for the Pasuk to say, for Kadosh Baruch Hu to say, "V'gam Bechira min ha'olam," they'll believe in you forever. So, first of all, we need to understand the importance of free will, and then we have to understand how Matan Torah works and how critical Matan Torah was, or how Matan Torah would take place, how critical that would be in order to ensure that our belief in Torah would remain forever. Free will, we know, is critical because that's what makes us human beings, and that's what gives us meaning to that which we do. Without free will, we would be like Malachim. Malachim always do the right thing, more or less. And if Malachim always do the right thing, they don't get rewarded for it because they really have no choice. That's who they are. That's what they're programmed to do. And of course, they get to do that which Hashem sent them to do. And therefore, they can't be rewarded and they can't be punished and they can't really accomplish anything in the cosmic sense. Whereas man, in Klal Yisrael, we have free will. We have Bechira. We can choose between right and wrong. Our mission is to choose that which is right. And if we do, then we get rewarded for it. And not only do we get rewarded for it, we bring Tikkun to the Olam, we bring Kiddush Hashem to the world by choosing to follow Kodesh Baruch Hu's world when it's not something that we are programmed to do and absolutely have to. And therefore, life itself depends on having free will. Without free will, there's no purpose to life and there's no meaning, and there's no meaning to our very existence. Now, let's turn our attention for a moment to Matan Torah and to the way Matan Torah would have to take place. The fact is that now we have this idea called Nevuah. We have an idea called Nevuah that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu communicates with men. How do we know somebody is a Navi? So we have certain rules, and there are halachas about this in the Chassidus Torah and the Rambam. where he tells us that someone can establish his credentials as a Navi in a variety of ways, including doing osu or mofes, doing some kind of wondrous, miraculous deed that is something supernatural that indicates that he has some kind of power, some kind of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the rest of us don't have. And then, if he can predict the future and so on, we follow him as a Navi, and we are required to listen to him. But the Rambam also says that anyone, actually it's when he's speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu in particular, he says anyone who believes in somebody simply because of an osum or a mofe, some kind of wondrous deed, yesh belibo dofi, there's always some doubt in his heart. Some doubt. Maybe he pulled a fast one on us. Maybe he's an amazing magician. Maybe he used the power of illusion. Maybe he used some kind of dark forces. How do we know 100% he's a Navi? And that's really a very good question that could be asked about every single Navi. So what happened was, and this is what Rav Meir Simcha explains to us, is that first there had to be a Navi called Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the Navi called Moshe Rabbeinu would be different from all other Naviim. Again, as you say in that Imamin, that it's Avla Naviim, the father of all Naviim. That means he's a Navi who is above and beyond all the other Naviim that Christ all over had. And the Rambam describes how his Navi was clear and so on, but it had to be more than that. Because Moshe would be the transmitter of Torah. And to be the transmitter of Torah, it couldn't just be where Moshe would tell us that he heard from Hashem that we're supposed to keep these mitzvahs. And we would believe him simply because he does an osur mofes. Because osur mofes, yesh b'libo dofi, a person can have doubt. And therefore Hashem elevated all of Klal Yisrael to the level of Nevi, so that they too be able to experience Moshe's nevuah. That is to say, they'll be able to experience and hear as Hashem speaks to Moshe. In fact, the pasuk says, the pasuk that we read says, "Bavur yishma am b'dabi imach," that the people should hear as I speak to you. They have to know that I'm speaking to you as well. They have to be witness to your nevuah. They have to themselves be able to testify, not simply because of the mofes. They had to themselves experience me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, speaking to you. They are witness to that, and therefore they authenticate your nevuah personally by seeing that I speak to you. And then they would believe in you, and they would transmit that to their children, so that we too are witnesses to the fact that Moshe is a Navi, because we heard it from our parents, who heard it from their parents, who heard it from that generation that says we were there, and we experienced it, and we heard Hashem speaking to Moshe. Well, to be a Navi like that, Moshe himself had to be on an unbelievable level. And the level that he was on, says the Meshech Chachma, was in fact the level of not having Bechira. And the level that Klal Yisrael was on was also on a level of not having Bechira. After all, Chazal tell us that Kafaleim HaKigigis, and a man was held over their heads, and Hashem said to them, if you accept the Torah, fine, Bimlav, and if not, Shamtik Veraskam, there shall you be buried. Which Meshech Chachma explains to us does not mean literally that Hashem held the mountain over their heads. But he opened up the heavens. They saw all of reality. They heard Hashem speaking to Moshe. When you have such clarity, when you see such truth so clearly, then there's no room for free will anymore. There's no room for doubt. There's no room to make mistakes. The fact is that the only way Bechira can really exist is in the world of darkness, where we don't see it with clarity, and therefore we can choose to see the truth where we can find it or to ignore that truth. But when everything is clear, there's no free will. So really, there are two ways somebody can lose his free will. One is in the way Klal Yisrael lost their free will, by seeing realities with such tremendous clarity. The other way is for Moshe Rabbeinu to lose his free will. And the way he lost his free will is an entirely different way. Moshe lost his free will by conquering his Yetzer Hara. Every time we conquer our Yetzer Hara, we won a level, if you will, in our growth towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We climbed a step. And in that sense, we kind of have surrendered our free will of that lower level. We now have clarity in a way that we didn't have before, but we have a new level to climb, a new level of clarity to achieve. When we climb to that step, then there's the next step, and the next step, and the next step. What happens if someone has climbed all the way up the ladder? Then he has conquered. He's conquered the Yetzer Hara, which is something that almost never happens, but that's what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished a lifetime of Avodat Hashem and a lifetime of conquering the Yetzer Hara by the time Matan Torah took place. He was chosen to be the transmitter of Torah to Klal Yisrael because of who he was and because of what he accomplished. Moshe, in fact, lost his bechira because he destroyed his bechira with all of his avodah. With all of his avodah, all of his growth, there was no Yetzer Hara left. And therefore Moshe achieved, in fact, the level of a malach. He wasn't really a regular person at that point anymore. He was a human being, but he was a human being. He didn't have to eat for 40 days and 40 nights while he was in Har Sinai. He was someone who had achieved and reached the level of a malach without real free will. And so it was at the time of Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael experienced Nevuah on a tremendously high level. They lost their free will. They saw everything with clarity. And they were able to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. We find a fascinating pasuk in Sefer Devarim pertaining to Matan Torah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, Shuva, through Moshe Rabbeinu, he tells them, Shuva lachem la'aleichem, go back to your tent. Go back to your tents, the Ata, and you, Moshe Rabbeinu, Poa Modi Madi, you stay here with me. The simple meaning of the pasuk is that the pasuk is referring to the fact that Klal Yisrael was separated from their wives. Husbands and wives are separated from each other during the days preceding Matan Torah. And now they're being told, Shuva lachem lachem, go back to your tents, go back to your family life. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, remain here with me. You always have to be on that level where you can always hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you. But Meshech Chachma says that really there's something else going on here as well. The ohel in this pasuk, the tents, Allah Aleichem, return to your tents. The tent here refers to the body, the physical world, the world of Bechir, if you will. Klal Yisrael had, in a sense, an out-of-body experience. The Neshamas left their bodies. They were so attached to reality and so attached to truth and so exposed to the Kedusha of what they saw that their Neshamas literally left their bodies. And they entered into the world of Nobuchira. Had they stayed in that world of Nobuchira, had they stayed with that clarity, there would have been no point to the Torah they just received. There would be no point to the mitzvahs that they were now told to keep. Because there would be no meaning to their vote, there would be no challenge, and no Yitzhar that would be challenging them on a daily basis. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, you need Bechira. Shuvu lachem la'aleichem. Go back to your tents. Go back to your bodies. Go back to your physical world. Go back to your world of darkness, because in that world of darkness, you can create tremendous light with the choices that you're going to make and with the very difficult challenges that you're going to face. But Va'ata, but you, Moshe Rabbeinu, who achieved your loss of free will, who worked for your loss of free will, Poa Modi Mad, you stay with me on the Har Sinai level. You stay with me on this level of no bechira. You'll be almost like a malach now for the rest of your life. You're going to be a very, very different kind of personality whose only mission, it would seem, will be to lead Klal Yisrael for the next 40 years from the vantage point and from the level that you were on. So therefore, the pasuk says over here, the pasuk that we began with, Gam b'chayim amin el olam, and you, Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael will believe in forever. What happened to free will? In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu had no free will at all. This is the essence of what Ramei Simcha says in this piece that he found in the introduction, in his introduction to Sefer Shemuz. And I think that there's a very important lesson to be learned from this. First of all, as he mentioned, this is something that pertains to some of the Yanni Mamas that we spoke about. The belief in Nevuah is a very interesting kind of belief. Because now what we're saying is that the belief in the Navi is not because we know what the Navi is saying is true. We don't necessarily know what the Navi is saying is true. The reason why we believe in the Navi, even though Yesh believe with Delphi, there's the potential for doubt, there's a potential to question, is this Navi, is that Osa Mobi is real or not? But the answer is, I don't know for sure. But I listen to the Navi nevertheless. I listen to the Navi because Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah tells me to listen to the Navi. And once Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah tells me to listen to the Navi, under these circumstances, I listen to him because Torah's Moshe, which I know absolutely is true, Torah's Moshe, which I know is true because I witnessed, we collectively witnessed, because Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe, the Navi that we know is 100% true, told us we have to listen to, through his Torah, through Hashem's Torah, tells us we have to listen to this Navi. That is why I listen to him. And in fact, the Rambam says as much. In Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin, the Hilchos Yesod Torah, he says very specifically, the Navi, do I know it is absolutely true? No, I don't know that it's absolutely true. Nevertheless, we have to assume that it's true. If I can quote some words over here. The Esher Shias Oves Nemopi is in a Navi. He might do an Oves Nemopi, and it's not really a Navi. But nevertheless, the Rambam goes on to say, since he is fitting for Nevuah based on our observation, then we have to listen to him, Shekach Nistavinu. this is what we commanded to do by Torah's Moshe. And he parallels that, he compares that to the fact that we were commanded to determine the guilt or innocence of a person in based on two witnesses. Two witnesses tell us that Reuven killed Shimon. What will we do? What will the Beis Din do? They'll sentence Reuven to death. Do they know absolutely 100% for certain that those witnesses are telling the truth? They can't know. Maybe they're amazing liars. But nevertheless, Hachnas Tavinu, Kemoshes Tavinu, Lachtoch Hasidin Al Pishnei Eidin, Kishayim. Even just like we were commanded to determine that the din, the judgment, based on the testimony of two witnesses, V'afa Pishnei Esher Shehida B'Sheker, even though it's possible they lied, but since they're Kishayim, as far as we know, then we have to listen to them because Torah's Moshe says we have to listen to them. So too, Torah's Moshe says we have to listen to a Navi. Which in fact, by the way, I'll just say parenthetically, seems to suggest that the summary of the Rambam's principles, the Rambam's Ikrim, are really detailed in the Perush HaMishnah on Sanhedrin, the last Perek in Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek, where he talks about the 13 principles that we have to believe in. It was summarized by somebody anonymous in the Ani Mamet that are so important to us. But having said that, the way the Ani Mamet is summarized by the author of the Ani Mamet, Shekol Divrei Neviim Emet, that all the words of Neviim are true, doesn't seem to accurately summarize the Rambam's position. We don't know that all the words of the Nevi'im are true, but we know the halacha is we have to listen to the Nevi'im. That's the halacha, because that's what Torah's Moshe teaches us. And from that we know, because Moshe Rabbeinu was so unique, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Avla Nevi'im, because he had been raised to the level of someone who he had grown to the level of someone who no longer has Bechira, and because the Gezboruch who spoke to him in our presence with an earshot of us, he allowed us to listen in on that conversation. Therefore, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah is true, and we can say, Shizosa Torah Mitzvah Tibidenu, that we believe in the Torah that was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, but since we ourselves are sent back to the world of Bechira, therefore we have Schar and Onish, we have reward and punishment, based on the actions and the decisions that we make. So we know Torah's Moshe is true because of the transmission of the testimony. And therefore, I would just say maybe there are two takeaways that we can suggest at this point. First of all, to embrace Bechira, to understand the importance of the challenges that we have. And when we're faced with a difficult challenge, when the Yetzer Hara says one way, but there's a strong Yetzer Hara saying the other way, we should relish the moment, because that is our moment to live. That is what gives meaning and purpose to our lives. And that is when we make that right decision. And we tell the Yetzer Hara, thank you for creating the challenge, but no thank you, I'm not going to listen to you. That's when we've accomplished something, and that's how we grow, and that's how we get closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's how we bring the whole world closer to truth. But also to understand the importance that of the role that we play in transmitting Torah to our children. The way we know that Torah's Moshe is true is because of what we heard from our parents, who heard from their parents, who heard from their parents, who, as we said, heard it from that generation that said we were there. And how are children going to know this? Because we will tell it to them. And how will their children know it? Because they will transmit it to their children, and so on into the future. And therefore, the importance of being the link in that chain, the link in that chain of truth, is something that we should feel is so much a part of our lives and so much a part of our mission, to take the truth that we have inherited from the past and to make sure that we transmit that to the future.